Let us enter in. Can we stand?
Yeah! She's already standing up. She's like, let's go!
Lord God, we come to you tonight, Father, to rejoice in who you are. You are our Lord, our God. You are our Creator, and you are so worthy of our praise. And so, Lord, we just desire to enter in, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh. Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in this time. Reign in our hearts, Lord. Reign in this place, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
I kind of wore green by default, so. Happy St. Patrick's Day for those of you that are Irish. Just have a few quick announcements, and then we're going to get right to the study because I know Debbie Bryson is going to be teaching, and she has a lot for us. A reminder, we talked about the retreat. Next Sunday, we're going to be in the park. There will not be any registration for retreat. So make sure you go the next week because I know it is filling up. So if last week, they were over half. They're really so. I really encourage you to sign up for the retreat. Remember, if you're new, and there's that little box that you can check, and we'll have someone kind of come alongside you, so don't feel like you'll be alone out there at Marietta. Another thing that we're going to do at the park on Sunday, and for those of you that have been to the park, and what I'm talking about is over at Brengel Terrace for our Easter sunrise service, is that we usually have like refreshments, coffee, donuts, and this year the Women's Ministry is going to be hosting that. We're doing it just for women's ministry scholarships. And what I'm looking for, and you can come out and see me, is if there's any of you that know people or have connections with either coffee or donuts or anything like that, you know, I'm just putting it out there. I know that the Lord will provide whatever supplies we need, but if there's someone that works in that field and maybe knows something, we can get some donations, that'd be great. So if you want to just come out and see me, that's going to be this Sunday. So definitely stop by and get coffee and donuts. Last thing, this is something I'm really excited about. I got this email about a week and a half ago about our new women's ministry on our Calvary Chapel Vista website. The women's ministry page is up and running. How many of you have been on it recently? Okay. You need to write this down. If you forget, it's in the bulletin under the website. It's really easy, calvaryvista.com. Go on to where it says ministries, drop down to the very bottom. It says women's ministry. Click on that brand new page. I'm like so excited. There's so many cool things. One of the neat things that are on there is actually on that page on the left-hand side, it gives you all the different things, past teachings, special teachings. It has an announcements for upcoming events. But there's one part that says webcast. Click on it, says webcast, and go down to the very bottom of the page. If you've missed any of the studies for this 1 John series, they are all on there. And I was on there today, and even last week's, they're on. You can either watch them via video, or you can listen to them. It's terrific. So if you missed any, they have retreats from 2000 and like 2001, 2002. They have all the audio. I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing. And it's such an easy website. So that's one little tip. Just it's Calvary Chapel Vista. I don't know if the other ministries have it quite as elaborate, but I will tell you, they really worked on that. And I'm pushing for it because I love going on there. And it was really neat because if you've missed any, you can just go back through, or if you want to go back to any of the lessons you didn't, you know, get to hear the teaching, it's terrific. So with that, I don't think I have anything else. Debbie, there she is. She has something special for us tonight.
Sorry. Okay, there it is. So we'll go through the words kind of fast, Nadine. Okay, this was our theme, Vessels of Honor. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we had a potter and a wheel, and she made a pot right there before the girls. And the sub-theme was, we are his pot, like he's the potter and we're the pot. And so some of you stood in the gap in prayer, and I want to thank you so much. That's our mainstay. Some of you were senders. Some of you actually gave scholarships to the girls, and I want to thank you for that. A couple of the girls went. Did you go? No. I did. Okay, we all share in God's blessing. So now we're going to quickly go through some pictures, and I'm going to show you some of the girls. Here's one of the girls receiving some of the socks here. And that was so fun. They came in the snow all bundled up, and they were so excited. That's me greeting one of them. And I thought you'd like this picture. It has a picture of Heinz ketchup on a Russian table. So, and here's the orphanage. We've been going to orphanages, and it's so fun, these little children. We're going to show some pictures of the children as we go through the slides. And here's my favorite moment, a moment when they all came to the cross. At the conference center, someone had left this huge cross. And at night, we're going to pause here just a moment, as the text tonight starts out by saying that if you love the one who begot, then you love the one who's begotten. And so this was a moment on Saturday night of our retreat. And this woman had made this pot. It was so beautiful. And the image was, she's like God making us, forming us. And her face was so beautiful, so radiant as she formed that pot. And people could picture that God puts his hand and he makes us, and we're his masterpiece. And as she was doing that, I was praying. And then as she was working, the Lord put something on my heart that was shocking to me. And as she finished the pot and put it on the shelf, I went up after she was done, took the pot, wet clay and all, and stood and held it before all the girls. And then in obedience to what God had shown me to do, I took my hand and I tore it. And she was standing there right before me. And a gasp went through the whole room. And then the Lord gave me the words, we are his workmanship. And when we take our hands and we tear each other down, we are tearing the masterpieces, the creation of God himself. And then I had wet clay on my hands, and it looked like blood. And I looked down and I said, how can I cleanse my hands? And the woman who made the pot, she came over and washed my hands. And I said, darling, but can you cleanse my heart? And she said, only God can cleanse your heart. And I said, if that's you, you have blood in your hands. If you have wounded another child of God, come to the cross. Well, the room was this big, and it cleaned out. As you can see, there was a message. That was a 3-minute message, and the room cleaned out. And they came to the cross weeping. That's my favorite moment. And this is a 13-year-old girl. I've known her since she was born, and she's the daughter of a pastor's wife. She came to the Lord this summer, and she was at the conference. Here's the girl studying. We can go through the rest quickly. This is our worship team. These are Russian girls. So serious, so attentive. And slippers. Each girl that came this year got a new pair of slippers. That was fun. Here's her hugging her slippers. And here's one of our girls playing for the kids in the orphanage. Each of the kids got a brand new sweatshirt. Here's the girls praying. One of our orphans. One of our staff with two of the orphans, hugging the orphans. And out in the snow, our beautiful girls. We do a lot of hugging. Aren't they beautiful? So I just thought it'd be fun for you to see them. And now tonight, would you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5? Such a marvelous book. So many rich, so many important, so many life-changing, practical things from God's Word, that if you apply the things that you've learned in these 5 short chapters, it will really, literally change your life. You'll be different. You'll be different in the way that you look at people. You'll be different in the way that you walk in this world. You'll be different in the way you love. And so as we begin chapter 5, we're going to pick out just a few verses because the few that we pick out are so powerful that we must go deep. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word that's timeless, that's personal, that's practical, and God, that can shake us up and shake the world out of us. And God, lift us to higher ground. And so we pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going to focus tonight on verses 4 and 5. We'll jump over to verses 11 and 12. And then close by reading 14 and 15. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son does not have life. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so we'll start back at verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I kept trying to review this in my mind, and I kept wanting to default to whoever overcomes the world. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And I thought, was that a misprint? I'm going to look that up in several of my other Bibles. And no, it wasn't a misprint. It is whatever is born of God. And I thought, well, initially, of course we default to us. We are born of God. We are the birthed ones. Jesus said, except you be born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And so that's great. And we're the ones that overcome the world. But also, it's a whatever. And how does that apply? That applies to the things that are done that are true fruit. Fruit that endures. Remember what Jesus said, that some things are wood, hay, and stubble if they're done without him or with the wrong intention or without love? They just burn like everything else. But there are things that are birthed of God. Those are those things that are just birth, where he tugs you on the heart and prompts you to go speak to your neighbor, to do a mission of kindness, to sign up for Sunday school, although you've never taught anything, and you walk in that classroom and you bond because it's birthed. It's birthed when you come to Bible study and you never went to Bible study. And you come and you join a group, and friendships are birthed, eternal things. He who is born of God, or that which is birthed of God, overcomes the world. It's everlasting. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So the world, let's start with the concept, the world. The world, what meaneth that? The world, what is it talking about? Is it the earth, the terra firma, this globe, this ground that we walk on? Is that what he's talking about? That we're to overcome the world and not to love it? No, that's not what he's talking about. In fact, I believe that of all the people that walk on the earth, it's the born ones that should love this world, the natural world. Because if we look at Genesis 1:1, and I turn to it today, and it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And then he said, let there be earth and water and stars and moon and sun and plants and animals and whales and us. And after each section of creation, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought that rocks and trees and skies and seas, all of them belong to him. I love to go to the ocean. And if you live in this area, shame on you if you don't drive 10 minutes and go to the beach at sunset. It's amazing. It reminds me of when we used to go to a drive-in movie. I remember we would drive in, park our car, and watch what was on the screen. You know, it's the same atmosphere down at Carlsbad Beach. People just kind of gather, and then they all stand in rows and just watch this great masterpiece. And it's free. I love it. I love to walk on the beach at sunset. I love to run on the beach. And sometimes if I'm all alone, I will just stop and I will say, mine. Mine. It's mine. You know, I cannot have a nickel to my name that day. And I can stand and look at the Milky Way and say, mine. Because I'm a child of God. My Father is the Father in heaven. And in Romans it says, our spirit testifies that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you have any idea how rich you are? How rich you are? There's no octopus in the ocean that's not yours. There's no bear in the mountains that's not yours. No bird in the sky. We should be a student of creation. We should examine it. We could just have a playground of thrilling episodes, just studying creation itself. It's ours. I have this wonderful little book. I don't know if I've ever shared it with you, but it's one of my favorite. I carry stacks of them, and I think every mother ought to own one. Every grandmother ought to own this book. It has story after story after story of the wonders of creation. The hummingbird, for instance, one of my favorite of all the birds. Did you know it can hover? It can power dive. It can fly forward and backwards and upside down. Did you know that? And did you know that the heartbeat of a hummingbird, guess how fast the heartbeat is? 1,250 times a minute. Did you know that? That's nice. And did you know that little tiny hummingbird? It's all feathers, really, because it weighs barely nothing, less than an ounce. Did you know a hummingbird can fly 500 miles across the Gulf of Mexico without stopping on one stored gram of fat? That's fuel efficiency. We should be such students of creation. This is my Father's world. That is not what he is talking about. He is talking about the fallen world, the system of this world, this mindset that it is absolute rebellion against God. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. That's what he said. The world does hate him, and the world hates us. And then he went on to say, remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they've kept my word, they will keep yours also. The fallen world, the rebellious world, that is the world that spits in God's face. They make the choice to be persuaded by the wicked one. 1 John 5:9 says, and we know, we have noticed that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, that world that is in rebellion. And Jesus said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he said, this is the condemnation, that men love the darkness more than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The world spoken of here is this present dark world. 1 John chapter 2 says, we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father. They are of the world, and the world is passing away. But he or she who does the will of the Father abides forever. So that's what we are to reject, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What he's trying to encourage us to do here is to make a shift, to shift from that world that's in rebellion and into your Father's world, where we say, not my will, but your will be done. That's the shift. And to love not the things that are in the world. Things. We are in the world, but we're not of it. We're not to love things. Unfortunately, we live in a society where we love things and use people instead of using things and loving people. Yes, we have things, but they are just stuff. We are to have them as tools, but they are never to have us. Do you remember that movie, The Lord of the Rings? Who didn't see it? Some of you didn't see it. Must see that movie because of one character. Okay, write down his name. Sméagol. Sméagol is this ordinary person. And the whole story is about a ring. It's just a ring. I never understand the allure. But he gets hold of that ring and he changes. He shrivels. He shrinks. He clings. He becomes so selfish. And he says, mine. That's what happens to us. It's ugly. My will. My way, my entitlement, me. There's a tyranny in that. Love not. Make the shift from the temporal to the eternal. The eternal perspective is what he's looking for in us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. And that's the perspective. In the Bible, there's two contrasts. Contrasts of two men. And I was thinking, how could we see this? How could we see this clearly? And I thought of Matthew 9. And it's the testimony of Matthew, the disciple. And his story is brief. You'd think if it was your gospel, you could give yourself a paragraph. He gives himself one short little scene. And basically, it's a scene of him sitting at a table, the tax collector booth, and Jesus walks by. And Jesus says, follow me. And it says, he did. He did. One day before, he was rich. He was influential. He had his position. He had his life set. He was rich, and he could be rich for the rest of his life. Huh? But Jesus walks by and gave a holy tug and said, this is the day that you can have life. And he got up from that table and never looked back. And he was the one who recorded the Sermon on the Mount, which is the great masterpiece blueprint for life in the kingdom of God, with words like, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit, poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. No, they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are you who are persecuted for my name's sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. These great words, Matthew, his life became big because that table didn't have a hold on him. He moved on. Contrast that to that moment, that tragic story I hate every time I come to read it, where the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and said, good master, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus mentioned the commandments and he said, I've done them. And he looked at this young man and he said, one thing is lacking. Sell everything that you own and give to the poor and come and follow me. And then the line that's so tragic, it says that he was sorrowful and he went away. And Jesus, be aware, Jesus does not tell everyone to do that. But this young man had thing sickness. And for some reason, the tentacles of what he had him. And forever it will be burned in my brain that he walked away sorrowful. The world, we need to do the shift. And here's this great, great message for us, that the shift and the victory is our faith. And I want to read you some definitions when I find them. I have some great definitions. If you have a pencil and paper, please get it out. So I will. Would someone look at my bag there? In a minute, I will read the definition of victory. I want you to write down the words victory, overcome. Is there a loose piece of paper with definitions? Had it 1 minute ago, 5 minutes ago. All right. No. Okay, we're not going to find them. And I'm going to see if I can recall this. Okay, victory. It is success. It is success. Overcome is to triumph. To triumph. Not to be overcome. And for some of you here tonight, you feel like you're overwhelmed. You feel like you're trumped. You feel like you're overshadowed. You feel like the world has maybe gotten the best of you. But God has a message for you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes. Believe, write that down. Belief means to rely upon, to trust, to do the shift from reliance on you, reliance on the world, reliance on others, reliance on what you have, reliance on what you can do, shifted to God himself, shifting to the Son of God. Our faith, to be true biblical faith, must be vested in God, nowhere else and nobody else, and to Jesus himself. And I want to say to us, we need pictures with that. When we have a problem, when we have an issue, when we have something that's coming against us, our image of God himself, of Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, is a must. We must know that on Easter, that death couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him. We serve a risen Jesus, and we need to have confidence in that. There's my definitions. The Son of God, he is alive, and he is with you, and he is for you. So what is faith? Yesterday, Evan, in his closing prayer, said a wonderful line. He said, regarding faith, he said, I believe so because he said so. And so we are going to practice this line. And I want you to walk out tonight, and I want this to ring in your ear all week long. This line, and it's from verse 4. And this is the victory. Say it with me. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let's say it again, all together. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Okay? So we're going to say that. And I'm going to say some certain things in the next phrase, next section. And then I want you to say that as your mantra. Okay? I believe that I am born again and I am a child of God. I believe if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Do you believe it? Amen. I believe that we are forgiven. Okay, let's say our mantra. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay? I believe that my citizenship is in heaven. I believe that we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. I believe that Jesus went to prepare a place for us, because in my Father's house are many mansions, and he wants us to be where he is. I believe it. And as Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Let's say our mantra. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, you are saying that so weak. Okay. Let's back up one more time. Let's stand up. You guys cannot sit still. I'm not going to be able to stand behind here pretty soon. Okay, what is our mantra? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay, I believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. Yes, and what's his purposes? That we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Absolutely, that's it. I believe, therefore, that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Right? Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I believe that he has made us for divine purpose. Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has pre-prepared that we should walk in them. That's amazing. I believe that if we abide in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. For without him, we can do nothing. Did you know that? I believe that he chose us and appointed us that we should go and bear fruit. I believe that Christ in me is my hope of glory. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I believe that I can do all things. Come on, girls, let's go. I believe I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. I believe that his strength is perfected in my weakness. Yes. I believe that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. Okay, let's say that. I believe that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. I believe that he is near to the brokenhearted. I believe that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. I believe that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the true vine. Jesus, he is our Lord. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the kind of faith that overcomes. That's the kind of faith. I believe that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Absolutely. I believe that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I believe that when we resist the devil, he'll flee. That's right. I believe that someday Satan, who deceived the whole world, will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. That's good. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so, I wanted to give one great story from the Bible to illustrate that. Because sometimes, girls, we need to see pictures, don't we? We need to see pictures. You can sit down. And I felt like, crowded into my room, in front of my desk, there was 15 illustrations. And they were like children, choose me, choose me, choose to talk about the time that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison after they were beaten for doing a good thing. And what did they do? They prayed and they sang. And the doors came open and the jailer got saved. That one said, choose me. And then there was Noah. He wanted to be chosen. He wanted to be chosen because he was picked when the whole world was in the sway of the wicked one. And God said to him, build the ark. And I know he is probably thinking, what's an ark? And he didn't say how. He said, yes, sir. Even though it took him 100 years. And then it rained, and he was saved. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's right. But then Daniel 3 shouted the loudest. And it's that scene, and all of us know the story, that Nebuchadnezzar built the big golden statue. The epitome of Babylon, the epitome of the picture of world power, world dominance. Because sometimes, doesn't it feel like they got the money, they got the power, they got the prestige? It seems like it's all stacked up. But three young men said, "No way, Jose," because they lived under the audience of one, my favorite thing. And when you live under the audience of one, before all others, you have nothing to gain, nothing to lose, and nothing to prove. And the consequences to not bowing down to this golden statue was that they were to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and he was ticked. And he said, "Now, if you are ready at the time that the music plays to fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the fiery furnace." And who, Nebuchadnezzar asks, who is the God who is able to deliver you? Good question, girls. And if we do not have it nailed, we will cave. And whatever has come against us will overwhelm us. But they had it nailed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you." It was so gutsy. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king who had ever lived up to that point in history. They went on to say, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." But verse 18 is the clincher. Then they said, But if not, O powerful king, O ticked off king, and for reasons that we don't understand, he does not deliver, we still will not serve your gods." And that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Well, now Nebuchadnezzar was really ticked. Tied their hands. And don't we feel tied up sometimes? Don't we feel like our hands are tied up? Tied their hands. Powerful men, pick them up. Don't you feel sometimes you're moved against your own will? And threw them into the fire. And as the story reads, they fell down. And maybe there's someone here tonight. And that's you. That's you. That's you. They fell down. And then Nebuchadnezzar was watching this, of course. Says he was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True king." That's what they always said, "True king." And he said, "Look, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the 4th of them is like the Son of God." It's Jesus. Amen. And he is thinking, what kind of God goes in the fire with them? What kind of God goes into the pit of hell? If that's what it takes for them. And he said, "Hasten and bring them out." And they brought them to him. And this is what they saw. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of smoke was not on them. Nice touch. God did not deliver them from the fire. He delivered them in. But the key here is that they overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. This is the victory. Stand up. Okay, now, if you don't say this like you mean it, you're all fired. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Lord, here we stand. And if you're standing here tonight, and you have felt crushed, you have felt forsaken, you have felt weak, you have felt overcome. Victory is not part of your vocabulary. You feel like greater is he who is in the world than he who has been with you or in you. That's you. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Every single mom on the face of the earth feels like that, don't they? And I think every woman feels like that. Do you have a mother-in-law who's giving you trouble? Do you have an ex-husband who's harassing you? Lose your job? Are you afraid about the future? It's our faith. If you don't stand on your faith in the Son of God, you won't stand at all. The worship team's going to come up. And I just feel like we need to worship standing. And I want you to get a mental picture. You need to see Jesus on the throne of God. Heaven is his throne, and the earth is just his footstool. Expand your vision of him. He's alive. He's alive. This is the week to celebrate that. This is our week to triumph in his triumphal entry, to see him for you. So worship. I want you to make your own list of I believes. And then use your mantra. And if you have something that's mountain size, whether it's the heartache over a prodigal, trouble in your marriage, trouble at work, trouble in your family, God wants to move some mountains. And one of my favorite lines in all the Easter story is when the women went the next morning, they wondered who will move away the stone. And they got there, and it was moved. And so, could you just do that verse one more time? And if that's you and you want to stand on it, you want to bring your stone up here, just as we sing this verse one more time, just bring it up, lift it up to the throne. You are the conquering hero, the dread warrior. Greater is he. Greater are you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to breathe in victory, knowing that if we have the Son, we have life. We have life. And God, I pray that we would not just believe it in our head, but we would live it in our lives. We would live the joyful, abundant life that you promised us, because we're not under the thumb of the world and the dread of the future. If some of you need to linger, prayer team's going to come up and just pray you through, and maybe some of you need to just linger at the altar. God bless you.
You see a rhinoceros?